Gee, agus fáilte go dtíon clár com an lúclas céan le seachtain seo le mí Tom Comac with you as always until 9 o'clock. And well, we've got a very busy program as always lined up for you tonight. GAPRO Alan Menton will join me to outline details of the special show called Lycra, which is a spectacular live event been run by Croke Park in conjunction with the National Football League finals in Croke Park on Sunday afternoon, and it promises to be a big show. We'll be joined by Alan a little bit later, but the Ultra Minor League final is on this Saturday, and it sees Donegal and Tyrone meet once again in a minor league decider. And well, we'll hear from the Donegal manager Sean Paul Barrett in a moment, but first delighted to say we'll hear from former Tyrone star and Ulster star cornerback Paul Devlin, who is joint manager of Tyrone along with Iggy Gallagher from Trillick.
Well, Paul Devlin, first of all, delighted you could join us, and lovely to have you. And, well, of course, looking forward to Saturday's Ulster Minor Football League final against Donegal. I'm sure no more than Sean Paul Barrett and Donegal and all of Donegal looking forward to that game.
Yep, surely go, Tom. But it'll be just now a step for the lads, you know, now a game build up the championship, you know what I mean, and it's, them the games you want to be involved in.
Yeah, and... Well, I suppose started off your campaign with a surprise defeat, but really bounced back. Defeat against Antrim the first day.
Yep, it was defeat against Antrim. And again, you know, the way I looked at it is, you know, Antrim, a few good players in that day, so they didn't just let our lads see what work you have to do. You're not guaranteed to do anything great unless you prepare to work and listen. And fair credit to the lads, have put their heads down and they've got involved and worked really well. So they have a fair few have been coming from McCrory and McLaren Cup football, and it's just giving them a few weeks to bed in, sort of. So you have to give them a bit of space too, and let them bed in till ways and means you want them taking part of the team, you know.
Yeah, and obviously McLaren and McCrory are have a big influence on your minor team, and a big influence, I suppose, on who you have early in the season as well.
No, that's right. No, a bit of Holy Trinity going to McLaren there, and St Kieran's of Ballygolly have been involved with stages too, and then you have Oma and Dungannon involved with the McCrory. So it takes a lot of lads, you know, the focus on that. It's an opportunity for them too, Tom, but you just don't want to get them distracted either and let them avail of the opportunities playing at all them levels.
Yeah. Well, yourself and Iggy, of course, are new coming in this year, and I suppose maybe after a disappointing season last year, maybe expectations not that high, but maybe the pressure on at the same time to, well, produce, given the general pool of talent that's believed to be available in Tyrone.
Yeah, that's it. But again, as I've always stressed all along, the job is you know, developing the lads to be county footballers. If a guy's coming there from 16 to 17 year old, coming to 18 this year, and the whole goal is, you know, developing them to live a lifestyle, what it takes to be a county footballer.
Hmm.
And as you say, every year it steps up, the bar steps up every year, there's something new, something to be challenged, and that's what they have to learn to raise hill.
Yeah.
And it doesn't guarantee every one of them will make that level, but if we can do our bit to guide them as best we can, that's what we're there for.
And of course, as you said, those guys have come through the college system, but they've also would have come through your development squad system.
You would have, surely. Oh, there's a system in place then, and they've stepped up the academy there last couple of years, and it's working well there. You can see lads there who want to be part of it, and they it speaks well for the future, so it does for Tyrone football. Again, it's like everything else, you have a lot of fellas there putting in their time behind the scenes, so it is, and when they see lads come out and participating and wanting to be there, it's a big bonus to them fellas, you know.
Yeah, anyway, as we said, didn't get off to the best of starts, but really bounced back well after that and put paid to Donegal, Derry and Fermanagh.
Yeah. Well, they were good games, you know. Like every game you go out, there's something to learn from every game. And fair play to the lads, you know. They've put their heads down, they've listened, they've gelled with each other, so they have, you know, it's a big county, Tyrone, as everyone would know, and you've lads from the very west point and you've lads from the east point along the Loch Shore. And, you know, it's a continuity of getting to know each other and you know, get the feel off each lad, so it is. And that takes time to get in place as well. It is, and you've some lads maybe haven't come through the full run of development squads or whatever it is, and there's something there we see in them, and he leaves it to some lad not been lost out, sort of, so you have to add that to it and you'll bring them all together. So it's a big step for them, sort of.
And of course, with your championship game with Derry only a few weeks away, I suppose at this stage you need to be getting close to what you believe is your best 15, 20 or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But as you say, I'm sure every coach at all levels will tell you there's always some guy crops up by the next day, so there isn't, he does something that they maybe you thought was in him but didn't, haven't seen it, and they brought it to the fore, and they've given you, as I said, Eggie many a time, there'd be an odd headache along the way, so they will, and that's the challenge you have, and that's what we're there for, and getting as much out of the lads as possible, so it is, and it's gearing till a championship, but every game comes along, it's a challenge to tell them, and no bigger challenge is there than our neighbours Donegal, so it is, they've been doing pretty well this last few years. Declan Bunner done a great job with them, the minors there, so he did, and it's a challenge for us there too at the weekend, and it's every day you go out, it steps up, the bar steps up, so it does, you know.
And as we said, you defeated Donegal and Ballybofey, but just the 2 points in it, so really, games like that, it's obviously a kick of a ball.
It's a kick of a ball, and a real good game. Donegal got off to a real good start, they were moving the ball very well, and credit to both teams that they played at the very end with it, and it was just one of those games that could have went any road at the end, so could have, unfortunately enough for ourselves, it was our day in Ballybofey, and it's not too often you can go into Ballybofey and get a win, so it is, and as I say, a stepping stone for the lads, as I say, and again, come Saturday, it'll be an odd challenge, so it will. And as the old saying goes, may the best team win.
Tell me, squad-wise, Paul, what's the health-wise like?
Oh, grand. The gold lads, is, you, like everything else, you get a niggle or two here or there, so you're with lads, so it is. And they're coming off, as I say, the McCrory Cup football and McLaren, and all lads there who haven't been involved with schools football have been really working well through the winter, so they have. And it gives them an opportunity to stake that claim that's been in early, so it is. And the McCrory lads, McLaren lads, up them till you know, get in there and try and fight for their place too. So it is.
So things coming together well, are they?
Coming well, we hope so. That's the best way of putting it. We hope it is going the right direction. So it is, and it's an odd day out, and I'm sure Donegal lads will aspire the same thing. It's about getting the finals and doing as best you can in them. So it is, because that's the challenges in life, and it's the mark that both counties have sat down in the last few years. Bringing salads through, and you can see there within both counties there in the senior level is a different face popping up generally nearly every year of a young lad coming through, and with knowing the club minor scene here, there's a few lads there from the Letterkenny team ought to knew a bit about, so whatever, because they played in the Ulster club again. My own team would have been in the Ulster club as well this year, and you always were keeping an eye out for them, and there's always a fair sprinkle of fresh young lads coming to the fore in Donegal all the time too, as well as Tyrone.
Yeah, so all in all, looking forward to the game and looking forward to the final.
Looking forward to it, surely. A day out for them, so it is. A day to enjoy, you tell them, so it is. And I'm sure, likewise, the Donegal management would tell the lads the same thing too. Days they got come around, so often you make it happen, so it is. It's the commitment and dedication that brings days they got to the fore. And when things aren't going right, you have to put the head down and working, because you know, all counties have a good level of footballers, but as you talked about earlier on, they're gelling them all together, so it is, and having them believe in each other that they can participate at the highest level possible.
Anyway, Paul, look, at time is catching up with us here. The best of luck on Saturday, and sure, may the best horse jump the fence.
The best horse jump the fence, that's the way it is, and a great challenge in front of us. Okay, so.
Paul Devlin, their manager, joint manager with Iggy Gallagher of the Tyrone Miners, of course, who face Donegal on Saturday in Mahara. That's in the Glen ground in Mahara, and that's in the Ulster Minor Football League final. And of course, Donegal and Tyrone are also meeting in the under 17 Jim McGuigan Cup final as well. That's also in Mahara, and of course, Brian McGeehan is the Donegal manager, and he's taking his side to another final. Donegal have won something like 4 of the last 5 Jim McGuigan competitions, so really going well. As Sean Paul Barriter is the Donegal manager. He took over from Declan Bonner at the beginning or at the end of last season. And of course, saying Sean Paul, no stranger to underage football, involved with development squads down the years. So he's certainly looking forward to playing in the final too.
Well, Sean, first of all, delighted you could join us. Looking forward, no doubt, at this stage to the Ulster Minor League final against Tyrone. And at this stage, I suppose, it's becoming an annual occurrence for Donegal. I know this is your first, but Donegal back in a third in a row.
Well, Tom, we're delighted to be in the Ulster Minor League final. As you said, it's the third year in a row, so it's good for Donegal football. We're just looking forward to it now.
Yeah, and of course the thing about it is as well, you're going for a first ever three in a row, because they've run twice, four back-to-backs in the 60s and in the 80s, but never three.
Well, I suppose that's a good record to be going for, but listen, anything can happen in the day. We're playing Tyrone on Saturday, and Tyrone are an excellent side, and we've already been turned over earlier in the year, so we'd certainly take nothing for granted now.
Mm. And tell me, talk to me about this team and the campaign so far.
I suppose we started off on the 1st of January. We got the lads in together, and we've been kind of doing a bit of training ever since. I suppose the lads are from all over the county, from various different clubs, like, you know, and most of them would have played at underage at either 16, 14, 15 or 16 or 17 for Donegal prior to this. So we've got a squad together now, we're just working with them.
Yeah, and of course you would know them, you've been working with them for some of them anyway, for a few years with development squads.
Well, no, actually, we never worked with these lads.
Right.
We hadn't got to any of these lads before. We had it in the team before for 4 years, but that was last year's minors. These lads are the next group. I know there was five or six of these lads were in with the minors last year now, but we wouldn't have worked with them before this year.
Yeah, and in general, the development system has produced them, that they're kind of there, ready and waiting, are they?
Well, there's a lot of work going on for a long period of time, Tom, in Donegal in underage football. And one of the things that was causing a bit of a difficulty was the gap between under 16 and minor, because it was a void there that we weren't kind of filling, particularly for colleges football. We weren't playing in Ulster colleges football, and it seemed to be a difficulty. But with the introduction a number of years ago of the Jim McGuigan Cup, which is the under 17 competition, it means that these teams now are being worked. So there's no void between 16 and minor. And
yeah.
There's more players coming through, like, you know.
Yeah.
The work is consistent.
Yeah, and you enjoyed success with under-17s, didn't you?
Yeah, we won the One Granite Cup, and we won the McGuigan Cup there. But that was last year, and the team was minors last year. They were a very good side, and they had worked hard. Like, we'd worked on them for 4 years, like, and we got them to where we wanted them to be now at the start of the year.
Yeah, and the Jim McGuigan, of course, we're back in another final again this year. Brian McGeehan is managing this year's team, and the format of that has changed as well this year, I think, hasn't it?
Yeah, the Jim McGuigan Cup has been run parallel with Ulster Minor League this year. And as I said, Brian is looking after the under-17s, and he's done an excellent job. There's a lot of very good young lads in it, and obviously next year is their minor year. We've also got, I think, maybe five or six of the lads in at the minute that would be under-17, but we have them in the minors, some of the better lads, like, you know.
Yeah. And tell me about the campaign began, the usual Fermanagh.
Yeah, we played Fermanagh in the first game. We played them down in Ballyshannon, and we beat them. We played Tyrone after that there in Balbuffet, and we were turned over there. We got beat by 2 points, and then we followed that on. We had two games there last week where we played Derry on a Tuesday night, and then Antrim on the Saturday. That's right, that was the week before that. And then we got through to the semi-final then, and last week we played Monaghan up in Clonus. So that was a big day out for us, like, and to get playing, for the lads to get playing in Clonus as much as anything else, and Monaghan are top side, you know.
Yeah, and 23 points to 21 after extra time. Reading the reports, and I know from talking to you last Saturday, a high quality game.
The football was sort of top drawer, to be fair, like, but there were two good sides working hard, and the two teams defended well, like, and surprisingly with the scores now, but Bonn in particular we took a lot of long range shots and scores. They're a good side now, and we're formidable opponents. But thankfully now, at the end of it now, we came out with the right result. But it could have went anyway now, so we're just delighted to get through.
And as you said, the only defeat this year was to Saturday's opponents, Tyrone. 2 points between you, not much either.
No, again, two sides. There's very little between. We'd have to say we're disappointed on our performance that day. And we'd like to think we've pushed on a little bit since then. But I've no doubt that Tyrone have pushed on since then as well. So it was early days in the league. But it'll be a good battle on Saturday. It'll be an interesting battle, like, you know. But we have no fears of Tyrone or anybody else, so we're looking forward to it.
And the fact that you're not doomed to meet in the earlier rounds of the Ulster Championship, you'll be quite happy to meet them later on, because that'll mean both of you have got to an Ulster final. So there'll be no holding back.
We're certainly not looking at an Ulster final in the Championship yet. Now we're looking for Saturday's league final, and after that we're looking at the first round of the Championship. But as you said, there'll be no holding back. We'd be mad to, I suppose, we owe Tyrone one. They'll be thinking they're going to turn us over twice early in the year. We'll hope to prevent that, but we'll do everything we can to
lay down the psychological marker just in case you do meet later on.
I don't think it's going to make any difference if you did happen to meet them later on. Saturday it'll be a different game. It's a league final, but it's no more than last Saturday. Last Saturday against Bonham was as good as any Championship game, and it's a very competitive game, and you know it'll stand to the lads for the effort they put in and coming through in the right result.
And I know you've had your fair share of knocks and injuries and one or two suspensions. How are you for Sunday or for Saturday?
We're okay for Saturday. We've still got a few fellas that are carrying knocks in the squad, and a couple of lads that are sick. Shane McGrath, particularly Shane's going through about his sickness at the moment, and please God, Shane will be back with us very soon, because he's a great player, a quality player. But we've missed him this last 3 or 4 weeks with sickness now, and he's still out. So hopefully Shane will be back in the next week or two with us. In the injury front, we have a couple of lads that are hamstring and hip injuries. Outside that, most of the lads are coming around now. They're kind of biting at the bit now, looking for places. There's good competition for places, and that's what we want.
Yeah, and all the work done, I suppose, at this stage now, just one more training session.
Well, all the work is, I suppose, all the work is done for up to now. But we have an awful lot of work to do. Yeah, we've only one session left between now and Saturday, and we'll be just trying to tidy up a few things and get things right now for Saturday. But after that, there the work really begins, I suppose.
Yeah, and has it been nice to beginning your Championship preparations as league champions, first time 3 in a row?
Oh, absolutely. That would be a great achievement. Of course, we'll give everything we have to win on Saturday, and then after Saturday we'll move on.
That's Sean Paul Barrett there, the Donegal Minor manager, looking forward to Saturday's Ulster Minor League final. Remember, that game is in Maharad, the Glen Ground in Maharad, at 12 o'clock, start throwing for that one. And of course, it's followed, that's against Tyrone. Of course, we heard from Paul Devlin of Tyrone, who is joint manager along with Iggy Gallagher from Trillick. And just couldn't help but thinking, the last time a Lockshore man and a Trillick man joined forces to manage Tyrone Miners, the one in All Ireland, that was, of course, our very good friend Noel Donnelly, or Liam Donnelly, and Martin Coyle. So maybe that's something on Owen for Tyrone going forward. Hopefully Donegal win that minor league and win a first 3 in a row. And of course Donegal are playing Tyrone also in the under-17 Jim McQuiggan Cup final on Saturday afternoon. That's a 1:30 throw-in. That's also in Glen Mahara. So Brian McGeehan, the Donegal manager of that particular Donegal team. And Donegal and Tyrone are meeting on Friday night in Celtic Park. That's in the Ulster Minor Hurling Shield final. Donegal and Tyrone making it through. So it's a big Donegal and Tyrone weekend. We'll never get rid of this rivalry between the two counties. But thought we guess the question, Clark, come and look, class, Gail, and shocked in the show. Meet Tom Gomack with you until 9 o'clock. And, well, of course, Alliance National Football League finals are on this Sunday. It's Tyrone versus Cavan in the Division 2 final, and Dublin versus Kerry, a repeat of last year's All-Ireland final in the Division 1 final, both games in Croke Park. And well, as part of that National League final big day in Croke Park, the G are also hosting a major show in conjunction with those league finals. It's called Leacra, and it's a spectacular live event celebrating our national history and identity. Obviously, to commemorate the 1916 Rising, and the theme of that event is the story of Ireland's Gaelic Games and the GAA's incredible role in the past century. And well, I'm delighted to say I spoke earlier this evening to the GAA PRO, Alan Minton, who gave me some details on Sunday's big show.
Alan, first of all, thank you for joining us. And I know Allianz League final Sunday in football is probably the biggest, second biggest day in the GAA calendar. And it's even extra special this year. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, it's been a really busy couple of weeks, Sam, and it's good to talk to you. But I suppose what I've used to describe to people is that it's almost akin to having an All-Ireland in April, and some of the calls you'd be getting looking for tickets would remind you of deep August or early September. But it's really caught the imagination of people. I suppose the alpha and beta of the day for football followers is the fact that we've our two Allianz League finals. In fact, we've four on this week, but there's two on Saturday evening. But on Sunday, we're very lucky with the pairings that we've been handed, in that Cavan will come to Croke Park looking to take on Tyrone in the Division 2 final, and Cavan are going to bring a big crowd. And in the second instalment, we've Dublin and Kerry playing in, which is a repeat of last year's All-Ireland final, and it's a long time since we've had a repeat of the final in the following year's league final. And to add to that, Dublin and Kerry haven't competed in a league final since 1987. So all told, that's the sporting side of it. But about 20 minutes after the second game, after the presentation, the Laoghaire show will kick in, will commence. And it's a show that we have commissioned, and we've worked with Tyrone Productions on, who are the people who produce Riverdance. And it will tell the story, in essence, of Ireland in theatrical display and in song and music and dance from the earliest days of Satanta. Mm-hmm. Right through to the modern day. And it will, over the course of 8 acts, it will attempt to stitch the narrative or the role of the GAA in the emergence of modern Ireland. So it's we hope it will be attractive and it'll be fun for all the family. It's a non-political or an apolitical production, heavy on entertainment, and at times we'll have in excess of 2,000 people on the field. So all told, it promises to be a day to look forward to. And if the rate of ticket sales or anything to go by, a lot of people out there have really made a connection with the events, and we hope to have a very special here.
And of course, it's to commemorate the 1916 Rising, and you know, I'm sure it's no coincidence that it's actually 100 years. It will be 100 years exactly from the day the Rising broke out.
Absolutely, and the GAA was very, very fortunate in that we had this date in our calendar for the Allianz League football finals. It wasn't moved, but it happens to fall on the exact date. The state always commemorates the 1916 events on the weekend of Easter Sunday and Easter Monday, which was the first day of the Rising, of course. But this has worked out really, really well. I think there was an expectation amongst the wider membership that the GAA would market in a suitable fashion. A lot of our clubs have organised activity and events. In addition to that, we produced a book earlier this year, and we have a digital archive coming on stream of a lot of literature and correspondence from that particular period. But crucially, I think this is an opportunity not just for GAA people, but there's a lot of non-GAA people and indeed a lot of neutral supporters coming to Croke Park on Sunday. And as of now, Tom, there's in the region of 64,000 tickets sold, and there's a few thousand off Croke Park because we've catered for volunteers, and we've installed a third screen at the Hill 16 end, close to the Cusack stand. So crucially, I think people will see things on the Croke Park field next Sunday that they won't see again here for a long, long time, if ever again. And that's definitely part of the allure. In addition to that, we've produced an 80-page commemorative match programme, which will include 20 pages of historical content from our history committee, and some of it is really, really interesting. I suppose people will ask, well, what's the GAA's links to the Rising? But it's probably impossible to separate the GAA from the emergence of modern Ireland, in that there's such an overlap. Of course, the Rising wasn't the GAA's, but as many as 80 men from the local O'Toole's Club here in Dublin, which is close to the Five Lamps area traditionally, would have fought in the Rising. So there's a very, very large overlap, and I think it'll be bare for people on Sunday to see.
Oh yeah, and I even know from my own club in Dunloe, General Joe Sweeney actually was in the GPO in 1916. He was the man that actually brought Gaelic football to the west of the county, or to the Rosses anyway. So that's one. So that's
he deserves a great credit for that as well, Tom.
Exactly, because we've produced some good footballers down the years.
Absolutely.
And tell me, in terms of club involvement, I know a lot of clubs are going to be sending representatives to Croke Park. Are there any participation from clubs?
There's massive participation. At the end of the show will last approximately half an hour. So if you were to set your watch to the final whistle in the Division 1 final, which is our second game, approximately 20 minutes after that game ends and the presentation takes place, the Lecra show will commence for approximately half an hour, and it will include pyrotechnics and a lot of spectacular activity and messages from clubs abroad at diaspora, and there's a lot of our Tain band will obviously have a role, as you'd expect, and at the very end of the production, in excess of 2016 volunteers will be brought into the field, and a large majority of that number will be drawn from clubs right across Ireland. So we wrote to every club in Ireland via our county secretaries and asked them to nominate volunteers, and the take up has been extremely good, Tom, and it's fantastic that people from our club network, which we speak about time and time again, will be here on one of the most important days in the calendar, and I firmly believe that in years to come that people will look back on this day and ask, were you in Croke Park on that day, quite similar to the night of the 125 or the night when we turned on the floodlights at Croke Park. These events don't come along very often, and I think that's the reason why we've got such a massive interest.
Well, obviously this one is even bigger in the sense of what it's commemorating.
Absolutely, and a lot of the GA people would have been clued into the state events that took place over Easter. I thought they were fantastic, and I think the state and indeed RTÉ deserve great credit for it. And I think there's been a nice lull since that, and I think now people, this will be the largest event on the actual centenary day of the Rising, and I don't think you'll see an event of this magnitude for the remainder of the calendar year either. This really is going to be a special day for people who have an interest in history.
Anything special for Hill 16, obviously it has...
Well, the story, the history of Hill 16, Tom, is disputed by some historians, but no, there were a lot of queries from Dublin supporters in particular once they booked their place in the final, would Hill 16 be open, and it was always our intention to have it open, but no, I think the fact that our volunteers are going to be housed on Hill 16, a part of Hill 16 before and during the event until they're required to come pitch side, so there are no special treatment for Hill 16 so far, that the whole stadium has been treated.
That'll be worth a few extra points to Kerry, so...
Well, quite possibly, but we might park that one until the final whistle, till Eddie Kinsella reaches for his whistle at the end on Sunday evening.
And tell me again, what half hour long is it, you said, is it?
Yeah, 30 minutes long, and it's carved up into 8 separate acts. And a man by the name of Ruan McGann, who had a direct hand in the excellent documentary that was aired on RTÉ about the Rising that Liam Neeson narrated. A lot of people might have seen it. Himself and a lady by the name of Brian and Nick Dermody produced it, and to me it was one of the most accomplished pieces of work in relation to the Rising or the whole revolutionary period. He's actually related to the O'Rahilly, so there's all sorts of links. So he has been the artistic director on it, and they've pulled many strands together, and I'm told the Cassidys have had a very central role in some of the music, and a strong Donegal connection there, and Siobhan Ní Cassidy, who sang Misha Era, will have a role as well. So there's going to be some of the best acts that are out there in the Irish entertainment world involved in it, and there will be a strong traditional element. We've insisted there will also be a strong Irish language element in it, so we hope it reflects the best of the GAA and indeed the best of the country over the course of half an hour.
And tell me, Alan, is it going to be televised?
It's going to be televised live on TG Car for those who can't travel, and indeed it'll be carried live on GAA Go around the globe as well, so we're trying very hard to make this as accessible as is humanly possible to as many people as is possible.
Yeah, and in terms of maybe somebody who's listening tonight and wants to go, how can they? There are still some tickets left.
Yeah, through the normal networks, they can get them through our Super Value or Centre networks, also through GAA.ie. But the tickets are running low. They cost €35 for a stand ticket and 20 for Hill 16, and they're worth €5 children's tickets. But I do know that all tickets are running quite low, so if people are intending to make the trip to Dublin on Sunday and don't want to miss out, I'd urge them to have a look into getting hold of a ticket at the earliest opportunity.
And as you said, obviously, it's been put together by Tyrone Productions. Obviously, there'll be comparisons with Riverdance. Could we have another Riverdance moment?
Well, don't put any pressure on us, Tom. What a moment that would be. I think it's going to be a very different type of a production in that the size of our field probably wouldn't lend itself to something. But I'd like to think that the calibre and the quality of the performance and those who are going to underpin it will be every bit as impressive. But it's probably a different spectacle, but hopefully every bit as good in a different way.
And have you seen it yet yourself?
Actually, I haven't, Tom. We had a creative briefing earlier today, and we have another one tomorrow, and rehearsals will start on Friday, and there'll be more rehearsals on Saturday. And I do know they had rehearsals in the Fianna GA Club in Glasnevin here in Dublin last weekend, so it's coming together nicely. And in fairness to Tyrone Productions, there's a massive logistical undertaking, and their attention to detail here at the fore has been hugely impressive, so I hope that comes to the surface on Sunday, and no doubt.